Richard looked down at the table, picking at the wood with his thumbnail. Think of the solution, not the problem.
And right now, you are doing it backwards. You are only concentrating on why the problem is impossible. You are not thinking of the solution.
Richard knew Zed was right, but there was more to it.
Zed, I don't think I'm qualified to be Seeker. I don't know anything about the Midlands.
Sometimes it is easier to make a decision if you aren't burdened with a knowledge of history,
the wizard said cryptically. Richard let out a deep breath.
I don't know the place. I'd be lost there.
Kaelin put her hand on his forearm.
No, you wouldn't. I know the Midlands better than almost anyone. I know where it is safe and where it is not. I'll be your guide. You will not be lost. I promise you that much.
Richard looked away from her green eyes and down at the table. It hurt to think that he might disappoint her, but her faith and Zed's didn't seem justified. He didn't know anything about the Midlands, or the magic, or how to find some boxes, or how to stop Darken Rawl. He didn't know how to do any of it. And for his first trick, he was supposed to get them across the boundary?
Richard, I know you think I'm thrusting this responsibility on you unwisely, but it is not me who chooses you. You are the one who has shown himself to be the Seeker. I have only recognized the fact. I have been a wizard a long time. You don't know what that entails, but you have to trust me when I say that I am qualified to recognize the One.
Zed reached across the table, across the sword, and put his hand on Richard's. His eyes were somber.
Darken Rawl hunts you, personally. The only reason I can fathom for this is that with the insight he has gained from the magic of Orden, he too knows you to be the One, and so searches you out to eliminate the threat.
Richard blinked in surprise. Maybe Zed was right. Maybe this was the reason Rawl hunted him. Or maybe not. Zed didn't know about the book. He felt as if his mind would explode with all the things filling his head. And suddenly he couldn't sit any more. He stood up and began pacing, thinking. Zed folded his arms across his chest. Kaelin leaned an elbow on the table. Both watched in silence as he paced. The wisp had said to seek the answer or die. It didn't say it was necessary to become this seeker. He could find the answers in his own way, as he always had. He hadn't needed the sword to figure out who the wizard was, although it hadn't been that hard. But what was wrong with taking the sword? What could it hurt to have its help? Wouldn't it be foolish to turn down any assistance? Apparently, the sword could be put to any use its owner wanted, so why not use it in the way he wanted? He didn't have to become an assassin or anything else. He could use it to help them. That was all. That was all that was needed or wanted. No more. But Richard knew why he didn't want it. He didn't like the way it had felt when he had drawn the sword. It had felt good, and that bothered him. It had stirred his anger in a way that frightened him, made him feel like he had never felt before. The most disconcerting thing was that it felt right. He didn't want to feel right about anger, didn't want to lose his control of it. Anger was wrong. That's what his father had taught him. Anger had killed his mother. He kept his anger behind a locked door he didn't want opened. No, he would do this in his own way, without the sword. He didn't need it, didn't need the worry of it. Richard turned to Zed, who still sat with his arms folded across his chest, watching. The sunlight gave Zed's wrinkles deep shadows. The lines and sharp angles of his familiar face seemed somehow different. He looked grim, resolute, somehow more like a wizard. Their eyes met and held each other. Richard was decided. He would tell his friend no. He would help and would stand by them. His life, too, depended on this, but he would not be the Seeker. Before he could say so, Zed spoke.
Kaelin, tell Richard how Darken Rawl questions people.
His voice was quiet, calm.
He didn't look at her, instead continuing to hold Richard's eyes. Her voice was barely audible.
Zed, please,
tell him.
This time his voice was harder, more forceful.
Tell him what he does with the curved knife he keeps at his belt.
Richard looked away from Zed's eyes to her pale face. After a moment, she held out her hand and looked up at him with sad, green eyes, beckoning him to come to her. He stood a moment, wary, then came and took her hand. She pulled him down toward her. He sat, straddling the bench, facing her, waiting for what it was she was bidden to say, fearing it. Kaelin shifted toward him, hooking some hair behind an ear, and looked down at his right hand as she held it in both of hers, stroking the back of it with her thumbs. Her fingers were gentle, soft, and warm against his palm. The size of her hands made his seem awkwardly large. She spoke quietly and didn't look up. Darkin Ra is a practitioner of an ancient form of magic called anthropomancy. He divines the answers to questions by the inspection of living human entrails. Richard felt his anger ignite. It's of limited use. He can at most get a yes or no to a single question, and sometimes a name. Nonetheless, he continues to favor its use. I'm sorry, Richard. Please forgive me for telling you this. Memories of his father's kindness, his laughter, his love, his friendship, their times together with the secret book, and a thousand other brief glimpses tore through him in a flood of anguish. The scenes and sounds converged into dim shadows and hollow echoes in Richard's mind and melted away. In its place, memories of the bloodstains on the floor, the white faces of the people there, images of his father's pain and terror, and the things Chase had told him flashed vividly in snatches through his mind. He didn't try to stop them, but instead pulled them onward, hungering for them. He washed himself in the detail of it all, felt the twisting torment. Pain flared up from a pit deep inside him. Invoked heedlessly, it came screaming forth. In his mind, he added the shadowed figure of Darkin Ra, hands dripping crimson blood, standing over his father's body, holding the red, glinting blade. He held the vision before him, twisting it, inspecting it, drinking it into his soul. The picture was complete now. He had his answers. He knew how it had been, how his father had died. Until now, that was all he had ever sought. Answers. In his whole life, he had never gone beyond that simple quest. In one white-hot instant, that changed. The door that held back his anger and the wall of reason containing his temper burned away in a flash of hot desire. A lifetime of rational thinking evaporated before his searing fury. Lucidity became dross in a cauldron of molten need. Richard reached out to the Sword of Truth, curled his fingers around the scabbard, gripping it tighter and tighter until his knuckles were white. The muscles in his jaw flexed. His breathing came fast and sharp. He saw nothing else of what was around him. The heat of anger surged forth from the sword, not of its own volition, but summoned by the Seeker. Richard's chest heaved with a burning hurt of his grief at knowing now what had happened to his father. And with that knowledge, there was closure, too. Thoughts he had never permitted himself to have became his only desire. Caution and consequence vanished before a flood of lust for vengeance. In that instant, his only want, his only desire, his only need was to kill Darkin Ra. Nothing else had any significance. With his other hand, he reached out and seized the hilt of his sword to pull it free. Zed's hand clamped down over his. The Seeker's eyes snapped up, livid at the interference.
Richard, Zed's voice was gentle. Calm down.
The Seeker, his muscles flexing powerfully, glowered into the other's tranquil eyes. Some part of him, deep in the back of his mind, kept warning him, trying to regain control. He ignored the warning. He bent over the table to the wizard, his teeth gritted. I accept the position of seeker.
Richard, Zed repeated calmly. It's all right. Relax. Sit down.
The world came rushing back into his mind. He pulled his readiness to kill back a notch, but not his rage. Not only the door, but also the wall that had contained his anger, was gone. Even though the world about him had returned, it was a world seen through different eyes. Eyes he had always had, but had been afraid to use. The eyes of a seeker. Richard realized that he was standing. He didn't remember getting up. He sat again next to Kaelin, removing his hands from the sword. Something inside him regained control of his anger. It wasn't the same as before, though. It didn't shut it away, didn't lock it behind a door, but pulled it back, unafraid, to make it ready when needed again. Some of his old self seeped back into his mind, calming him, slowing his breathing, reasoning within him. He felt liberated, unafraid, unashamed of his temper for the first time. He allowed himself to sit there while he uncoiled, feeling his muscles relax. He looked up into Zed's calm, undisturbed face. The old man, his thatch of white hair framing an angular face set in a perceptive cast, studied him, assessed him with the slightest hint of a smile fixed at the corners of his thin mouth.
"Congratulations," the wizard said. "You have passed my final test to become Seeker."
Richard pulled back in confusion. "What do you mean? You already appointed me Seeker." Zed shook his head slowly.
"I told you before. Weren't you listening? A Seeker appoints himself. Before you could become Seeker, you had to pass one determinative test. You had to show me you could use all your mind. For many years, Richard, you have kept part of it locked away. Your anger. I had to know you could release it, call upon it. I've seen you angry, but you were unable to admit your anger to yourself. A seeker who couldn't allow himself to use his anger would be hopelessly weak. It is the strength of rage that gives the heedless drive to prevail. Without the anger, you would have turned down the sword, and I would have let you, because you wouldn't have had what was required. But that is irrelevant now. You have proven you are no longer a prisoner to your fears. Be cautioned, though. As important as it is to be able to use your rage, it is equally important to be able to restrain it. You have always had that ability. Don't let yourself lose it now. You must be wise enough to know which path to choose. Sometimes letting out the anger is an even more grievous mistake than holding it in."
Richard nodded solemnly. He thought about the way it felt to hold the sword when he was in the rage, the way he felt its power, the liberating sensation of giving himself over to the primal urge from within himself and from the sword. "The sword has magic," he said guardedly. "I felt it."
"It does. But Richard, magic is only a tool, like any other. When you use a whetstone to sharpen a knife, you are simply making the knife work better for its intended purpose. Same way with the magic. It's just a honing of the intent."
Zed's eyes were clear and sharp.
"Some people are more terrified to die by magic than, say, by a blade, as if somehow one is less dead if killed by a blow or cut than if killed by the unseen. But listen well. Dead is dead. The fear of the magic, though, can be a powerful weapon. Keep that in mind."
Richard nodded. The late afternoon sun warmed his face, and out of the corner of his eye, he could see the cloud. Rawl would be watching it, too. Richard remembered the man from the quad on Blunt Cliff, how he had pulled his sword across his arm, drawing blood before he attacked. He remembered the look in the man's eyes. He hadn't understood it at the time. He understood it now. Richard hungered for the fight. The leaves of the nearby trees fluttered in a light autumn wind, glimmering with their first touches of gold and red. Winter was coming. The first day of winter would soon be here. He thought about how he would get them across the boundary. They had to get one of the boxes of Ordon, and when they found it, they would find Rawl.
Zed, no more games. I am Seeker now, no more tests. True?
True as toasted toads.
Then we are wasting our time. I am sure Rawl is not wasting his.
He turned to Kaelin.
I hold you to your pledge to be my guide when we reach the Midlands.
She smiled at his impatience and nodded. Richard turned to Zed.
Show me how the magic works, wizard.
Chapter 10. Zed's impish smile spread across his face. He handed Richard the baldric. The finely tooled leather was old and supple. The gold and silver buckle matched the scabbard. It was adjusted too small, its last user having been smaller than Richard. Zed helped readjust it as Richard strapped it across his right shoulder and fit the Sword of Truth to it. Zed led them to the edge of the grass, amid long shadows stretching from the nearby trees to where two small rock maples grew, one as thick as Richard's wrist, the other as thin as Kaelin's. He turned to Richard.
Draw the sword.
The unique, ringing, metallic sound filled the late afternoon air as the sword came free. Zed leaned closer.
Now, I will show you the most important thing about the sword. But to do so, I need you to briefly abdicate your post as Seeker and allow me to name Kaelin Seeker.
Kaelin gave Zed a suspicious glare. I don't want to be Seeker.
Just for the purpose of demonstration, dear one.
He motioned for Richard to give her the sword. She hesitated before taking it in both hands. The weight was uncomfortable, and she allowed the point to lower until it rested on the grassy ground. Zed waved his hands over her head with a flourish.
Kaelin Amnel, I name you Seeker.
She continued to give him the same suspicious stare. Zed put his finger under her chin, tilting her head up. His eyes had a fierce intensity. He put his face close to hers, speaking in a low voice.
When I left the Midlands with this sword, Darkin Rawl used his magic to place the larger of these two trees here, to mark me, to be able to come for me at a time of his choosing, so he could kill me. The same Darkin Rawl who had Denis killed.
Her countenance became darker.
The same Darkin Rawl who hunts you, to kill you like he killed your sister.
Hate flared in her eyes, her teeth clenched, making the muscles in her strong jawline stand out. The Sword of Truth rose from the ground. Zed stepped behind her.
This tree is his. You must stop him.
The blade flashed through the autumn air with speed and power Richard could scarcely believe. The arc of its sweep went through the larger tree with a loud crack, like a thousand twigs snapping at once. Splinters flew everywhere. The trees seemed to hang in the air a moment, then dropped down next to the ragged stump before toppling over with a crash. Richard knew it would have taken him at least 10 blows with a good axe to have felled the maple. Zed slipped the sword from Kaelin's hands as she sank to her knees and rocked back on her heels, putting her hands over her face with a moan. Instantly, Richard crouched at her side, steadying her.
Kaelin, what's wrong?
I'm all right. She laid a hand on his shoulder as he helped her to her feet. Her face was pale as she forced a small smile.
But I resigned my post as Seeker.
Richard spun to the wizard.
Zed, what is this nonsense? Darkin Rawl didn't put that tree there. I've seen you water and care for those two trees. If you held a knife to my throat, I'd say you planted them there as a memorial to your wife and daughter.
Zed gave only a small smile.
Very good, Richard. Here is your sword. You are Seeker again. Now, my boy, you cut down the little tree, and then I will explain.
Annoyed, Richard took the sword in both hands, feeling the anger surge through him. He gave a mighty swing at the remaining tree. The tip of the blade whistled as it sliced through the air. Just before the blade hit the tree, it simply stopped, as if the very air about it had become too thick to allow it to pass. Richard stepped back in surprise. He looked at the sword, and then tried again. Same thing. The tree was untouched. He glared over at Zed, who stood with his arms folded and a smirk on his face. Richard slid the sword back into its scabbard.
All right? What's going on?
Zed lifted his eyebrows with an innocent expression.
Did you see how easily Kalin cut through the bigger tree?
Richard frowned. Zed smiled.
It could just as well have been iron. The blade would have cut through it the same. But you are stronger than she, and you couldn't even scratch the smaller tree.
Yes, Zed, I noticed. Zed's brow wrinkled in mock bewilderment.
And why do you think that is?
Richard's irritation melted. This was the way Zed often taught lessons, by making him come up with the answer on his own.
I would say it has something to do with intent. She thought the tree was evil, I didn't.
Zed held up a bony finger.
Very good, my boy.
Kalin knitted her fingers together.
Zed, I don't understand. I destroyed the tree, but it wasn't evil. It was innocent.
That, dear one, is the point of the demonstration. Reality isn't relevant. Perception is everything. If you think it is the enemy, you can destroy it, whether true or not. The magic interprets only your perception. It won't allow you to harm someone you think innocent, but it will destroy whoever you perceive to be the enemy, within limits. Only what you believe, and not the truth of your thoughts, is the determining factor.
Richard was a little overwhelmed.
That leaves no room for error. But what if you aren't sure?
Zed lifted an eyebrow.
You had better be sure, my boy, or you are liable to find yourself in a lot of trouble. The magic could read things in your mind you are not even aware of. It could go either way. You could kill a friend or fail to kill a foe.
Richard drummed his fingers on the hilt of the sword, thinking. He watched the setting sun offer small golden flashes through the trees to the west. Overhead, the snake-like cloud had taken on a reddish cast on one side, deepening into darker purple on the other. It didn't really matter, he decided. He knew who he was after, and there was no doubt at all in his mind about him being the enemy. None whatsoever.
There's one more thing. One more important thing, the wizard said. When you use the sword against an enemy, there is a price to pay. Is that not true, dear one?
He looked to her. Kalin nodded and lowered her eyes to the ground.
The more powerful the enemy, the higher the price. I am sorry it was necessary to do this to you, Kalin, but it is the most important lesson Richard must learn.
She gave him a small smile, letting him know that she understood the need. He turned back to Richard.
We both know that sometimes killing is the only choice, that it has to be classified as the right thing to do. I know you do not need to be told that any time you kill, though, it is a terrible thing. You live with it always, and once done, it cannot be undone. You pay a price within yourself. It diminishes you for having done it.
Richard nodded. It still made him uneasy that he had killed the man on Blunt Cliff. He wasn't sorry about what he had done. He had had no time or other choice, but in his mind, he still saw the man's face as he went over the edge. Zed's eyes became intense.
It is different when you kill with the sword of truth because of the magic. The magic has done your bidding, and it extracts a price. There is no such thing as pure good or pure evil, least of all in people. In the best of us, there are thoughts or deeds that are wicked. And in the worst of us, at least some virtue. An adversary is not one who does loathsome acts for their own sake. He always has a reason that to him is justification. My cat eats mice. Does that make him bad?
I don't think so. And the cat doesn't think so. But I would bet the mice have a different opinion. Every murderer thinks the victim needed killing.
I know you don't want to believe this, Richard, but you must listen. Darken Rawl does the things he does because he thinks them right, just as you do the things you do because you think them right. The two of you are more the same in that than you think. You want revenge on him for killing your father, and he wants revenge on me for killing his. In your eyes, he is evil, but to his eyes, you are the one who is evil. It is all just perception. Whoever wins thinks he was in the right. The loser will always believe himself wronged. It is the same as with the magic of Auden. The power is simply there. One use wins over the other.
The same? Have you lost your mind? How could you think we are the same in any way? He craves power. He would chance destroying the world to get it. I don't want power. I just wanted to be left alone. He murdered my father. He ripped his guts out. He's trying to kill us all. How can you say we are alike? You make it sound like he isn't even dangerous.
Haven't you been paying attention to what I have just been teaching you? I said you are the same in that you both think you are right. And that makes him more dangerous than you can imagine, because in every other way, you are different. Darken Rawl savors bleeding the life from people. He hungers for their pain. Your sense of right has bounds. His has none. His is twisted into an all-consuming lust to torture all opposition into submission, and he considers any who don't rush to bow before him as opposition. His conscience was clear when he used his bare hands to calmly extract your father's guts while he was still breathing. He found pleasure in the doing because his distorted sense of right gives him license. That is how he is very different from you. That is how dangerous he is.
He pointed back at Caleb.
Weren't you paying attention? Didn't you see what she was able to do with the sword? And how did she do what you could not?
Perception, Richard said in a much quieter voice. She was able to do it because she thought she was right. Zed thrust a finger in the air.
Aha! Perception is what makes the threat even more dangerous.
The wizard's finger came down and jabbed Richard's chest with each word.
Just like the sword.
Richard hooked a thumb under the baldric and let out a deep breath. He felt as if he were standing in quicksand, but he had lived with Zed too long to dismiss the things he said simply because they were hard to fathom. He longed for simplicity, though.
You mean that it's not only what he does that makes him dangerous, but also what he feels justified in doing?
Zed shrugged.
Let me put it another way. Who would you be more afraid of? A 200-pound man who wants to steal a loaf of bread from you and knows he is doing wrong, or a 100-pound woman who believes, wrongly, but believes with all her heart, that you stole her baby?
Richard folded his arms across his chest. I would run from the woman. She wouldn't give up. She wouldn't listen to reason. She would be capable of anything. Zed's eyes were fierce.
So is Darken Rawl. Because he thinks he is right, he is that much more dangerous.
Richard returned the fierce expression.
I am in the right.
Zed's expression softened.
The mice think they are in the right too, but my cat eats them just the same. I am trying to teach you something, Richard. I don't want you to get caught in his claws.
Richard unfolded his arms and sighed.
I don't like it, but I understand. As I have heard you say, nothing is ever easy. While all of this is interesting, it isn't going to frighten me away from doing what it is I must, what I believe to be right. So, what is this business about a price to using the Sword of Truth?
Zed held a thin finger to Richard's chest.
The payment is that you suffer the pain of seeing in yourself all your own evil, all your own shortcomings, all the things we don't like to see in ourselves or admit are there. And you see the good in the one you have killed, suffer the guilt for having done so.
Zed shook his head sadly.
Please believe me, Richard. The pain comes not only from yourself, but more importantly, from the magic. A very powerful magic. A very powerful pain. Do not underestimate it. It is real, and it punishes your body as well as your soul. You saw it in Kalin, and that was from killing a tree. If it had been a man, it would have been profound. This is why anger is so important. Rage is the only armor you have against the pain. It gives a measure of protection. The stronger the enemy, the stronger the pain. But the stronger the rage, the stronger the shield. It makes you care less about the truth of what you have done. In some cases, enough to not feel the pain. This is why I said the terrible things I did to Kalin, things that hurt and filled her with rage. It was to protect her when she used the sword. You see why I wouldn't have allowed you to take the sword? If you weren't able to use your anger, you would be naked before the magic. It would tear you apart.
Richard was a little frightened by this, by the look in Kalin's eyes after she had used the sword, but it didn't dissuade him. He glanced up at the mountains of the boundary. They stood out, pale pink in the light of the setting sun. Behind them, from the east, darkness was coming. Darkness coming for them. He had to find a way across the boundary, into that darkness. The sword would help him. That was what mattered. There was much at stake. There was a cost to everything in life. He would pay this one. His old friend placed his hands on Richard's shoulders and looked hard into his eyes. Zed's features were set in grim warning.
Now, I have to tell you something you are not going to like.
His fingers tightened almost painfully.
You cannot use the Sword of Truth on Darken Rall.
What?
Zed gave him a shake.
He is too powerful. The magic of Orden protects him during his year of search. If you try to use the sword, you will be dead before it reaches him.
This is crazy. First, you want me to be the seeker and take the sword. Now you tell me I can't use it?
Richard was furious. He felt cheated.
Just against Rawl. It won't work against him. Richard, I didn't make the magic. I only know how it works. Darken Rawl knows how it works, too. He may try to make you use the sword against him. He knows it would kill you. If you give in to the rage and use the sword against him, he will win. You will be dead and he will have the boxes.
Kalin's brow wrinkled in frustration.
Zed, I agree with Richard. This makes it impossible. If he cannot use his most important weapon, then...
Zed cut her off.
No! This...
He rapped Richard on the head with his knuckles.
This is a seeker's most important weapon.
He jabbed his long finger at the center of Richard's chest.
And this.
Everyone stood in silence for a moment.
The seeker is the weapon, Zed said with emphasis. The sword is just a tool. You can find another way. You must.
Richard thought he should be upset, that he should feel angry, frustrated, overwhelmed. But he didn't. His first view of his options lifted from him, letting him see beyond. He felt strangely calm and determined.
I'm sorry, my boy. I wish I could change the magic, but I...
Richard put his hand on Zed's shoulder. It's all right, my friend. You're right. We must stop Rawl
That's all that matters. I have to know the truth to succeed, and you have given me the truth. Now it's up to me to use it. If we gain one of the boxes, justice will have Rawl. I don't need to see it. I need only know it is done. I said I wouldn't be an assassin, and so I shall not be. The sword will be invaluable, I'm sure, but as you said, it's only a tool, and that's the purpose I will put it to. The magic of the sword isn't an end in itself. I can't allow myself to make that mistake, or I will be only a pretend seeker. In the gathering gloom, Zed patted Richard affectionately on the shoulder.
You have gotten it all right, my boy. All of it.
He broke into a broad grin.
I have chosen the seeker well. I am proud of myself.
Richard and Kaelin laughed at Zed's self-congratulation. Kaelin's smile faded.
Zed, I cut down the tree you planted in memory of your wife. That bothers me. I'm deeply sorry for doing it.
Don't be, dear one. Her memory has aided us. She has helped show the seeker the truth. There could be no more fitting tribute to her.
Richard didn't hear them talking. Already he was looking to the east, to the massive wall of mountains, trying to think of solutions. Cross the boundary, he thought. Cross the boundary without going through it. How? What if it was impossible? What if there was no way across the boundary? Would they be stuck here while Darkin Rawl searched for the boxes? Were they to die without a chance? He wished there were more time and fewer limitations. Richard reprimanded himself for wasting time wishing. If only he knew it could be done, then he could find out how. Something in the back of his mind nagged at him, insisting that it could be done, insisting he knew the truth of it. There was a way. There had to be. If he only knew that it was possible. All around them, the night was coming alive with sounds. Frogs called from the ponds and streams, night birds from the trees, and insects from the grass. From the distant hills came the cry of wolves, mournful and plaintive against the dark wall of mountains. Somehow they had to cross those mountains, cross the unknown. The mountains were like the boundary, he thought. You couldn't go through them, but you could cross them. You had only to find a pass. A pass? Was it possible? Could there be one? Then it struck him like a bolt of lightning. The book! Richard spun on his heels, excited. To his surprise, Zed and Kaelin were both standing quietly, watching him, as if waiting for a pronouncement. Zed, have you ever helped anyone other than yourself go through the boundary?
Like who?
Anyone, yes or no? No! No one. Can anyone other than a wizard send a person through the boundary?
Zed shook his head emphatically.
None but a wizard. And Darkin Rawl, of course.
Richard frowned at him. Our lives depend on this, Zed. Swear, you have never, ever sent anyone other than yourself through the boundary. True?
True as a boiling bog full of toasted toads. Why? What have you thought of? Do you have a way?
Richard ignored the question, too deep in his own stream of thought to answer, and instead turned back to the mountains.
It was true. There was a pass across the boundary. His father had found it and used it. That was the only way the Book of Counted Shadows could have been in Westland. He couldn't have brought it with him when he moved here, before the boundary, and he couldn't have found it in Westland. The book had magic. The boundary wouldn't have worked if magic had been here then. Magic could only be brought into Westland after the boundary was up. His father had found a pass, gone into the Midlands, and brought the book back. Richard was shocked and excited at the same time. His father had done it. He had gone across the boundary. Richard was elated. Now he knew there was a way across. It could be done. He still had to find the pass, but that didn't matter for now. There was a pass. That was what mattered.
Richard turned back to the other two. We will go have supper. I put a stew on just before you awoke, and there is fresh bread, Kaelin offered.
Bags!
Zed threw his scarecrow arms up into the air.
It's about time someone remembered supper.
Richard gave a little smile in the dark. After we've eaten, we'll make preparations, decide what we need to take, what we can carry, get our provisions together and pack tonight. We'll need to get a good night's sleep. We leave at first light.
He turned and headed for the house. The faint glow of the fire coming from the windows offered warmth and light. Zed held up an arm.
Where are we headed, my boy?
The Midlands, Richard called back over his shoulder.
Zed was halfway through his second bowl of stew before he could bring himself to stop eating long enough to talk.
So, what have you figured out? Is there truly a way to cross the boundary?
There is.
Are you sure? How can it be? How can we cross without going through?
Richard smiled as he stirred his stew.
You don't have to get wet to cross a river.
The lamplight flickered on their faces as Kaelin and Zed frowned in puzzlement. Kaelin turned and threw a small piece of meat to the cat, who was sitting on his haunches, waiting for any handout. Zed ate another slab of bread before he was able to ask his next question.
And how do you know there is a way across?
There is. That's all that matters. Zed had an innocent look on his face.
Richard,
he ate two more spoonfuls of stew.
We're your friends. There are no secrets among us. You can tell us.
Richard looked from one big pair of eyes to the other and laughed out loud.
I've had strangers tell me more of themselves.
Zed and Kaelin both backed away a little at the rebuff and looked at each other, but neither dared repeat the question. They talked on as they ate, of what they had at hand to take with them, how much they could do to prepare in such a short time, and what their priorities should be. They listed everything they could think of, each offering items to be taken. There was much to do and little time. Richard asked Kaelin if she traveled the Midlands often. She said that was almost all she ever did.
And you wear that dress when you travel?
I do. She hesitated. People recognize me by it. I don't stay in the woods. Wherever I go, I am always provided with food and a place to stay, and anything else I might require. Richard wondered why. He didn't press, but he knew the dress she wore was more than something she bought in a shop.
Well, with the three of us being hunted, I don't think we want people to recognize you. I think we need to stay away from people as much as possible. Keep to the woods when we can.
She and Zed both nodded their agreement.
We will need to find you some traveling clothes, forest garb, but there's nothing here that will fit you. We'll have to find something on the way. I have a hooded cloak here. It will keep you warm for now.
Good, she said, smiling. I'm tired of being cold, and I can tell you a dress is not right for the woods.
Kaelin finished before the men and put her half-full bowl on the floor for the cat. The cat seemed to have the same appetite as Zed and was eating out of the bowl before she could set it down.
They discussed each item they would take and planned how they would do without others. There was no telling how long they would be gone, but Westland was a big place and the Midlands bigger. Richard wished they could go to his house, since he often went on long treks and had the right kinds of provisions, but it was too big a risk. He would rather find the things they needed elsewhere or go without than go back to what waited there. He didn't know yet where they were going to cross the boundary, but he wasn't worried. He still had until morning to think about it. He was just relieved to know there was a way. The cat's head came up. He crossed half the distance to the door and stopped, back and fur rising. Everyone noticed and fell silent. There was firelight in the front window, but it wasn't reflecting from the hearth. It was coming from outside.
I smell burning pitch, Kaelin said.
In an instant, the three were on their feet. Richard grabbed the sword from the back of his chair and had it on almost before he was to his feet. He went to look out the window, but Zed didn't waste the time and went through the door in a rush with Kaelin in tow. Richard got only a glimpse of torches before he hurried out after the other two. Spread out in the long grass in front of the house was a mob of about 50 men, some carrying torches, but most carrying crude weapons, axes, pitchforks, scythes, or axe handles. They were dressed in their work clothes. Richard recognized many of the faces, good men, honest, hard-working family men. They didn't look like good men this night, though.
They looked to be in a foul mood, their faces grim and angry. Zed stood in the center of the porch, hands on his skinny hips, smiling out at them, the red light from the torches making his white hair pink.
"What's this then, boys?" Zed asked.
They mumbled among themselves, and several men in front took a step or two forward. Richard knew the one, John, who spoke for the rest.
"There's trouble about. Trouble caused by magic. And you're at the bottom of it, old man. You're a witch."
"A witch?"
Zed asked in bewilderment.
"A witch? That's what I said. A witch."
John's dark eyes shifted to Richard and Kalin.
"This doesn't concern you two. Our business is with the old man.